This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Well, 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 bringing you all the up-to-date information on sexual health and well-being. Brought to you by the Victorian AIDS Council, Gay Men's Health Centre on Joy 94.9.
Joy.
Hello and welcome to Well, Well, Well. It's Jack here once again, and today I'm joined by the not too unfamiliar and fabulous Tex McKenzie and the exceptional Jessie Wong from the Health Promotion Team at the Victorian AIDS Council.
Back again.
How are we, team?
Oh, very well today, thanks, John. On this gorgeous, gorgeous day.
A bit bleak
outside, but it's gorgeous here in the studio because you're here, doll.
Exactly.
Okay. So what have we been up to? What's been happening for that VAC?
Oh, well, I know what I did on Saturday night. I went to Short and Girly at the National Theatre in St Kilda.
I heard that was an absolute raving success, actually.
It was an enormous success. It was absolutely sensational. It was emceed by Rachel Berger, who kept everything flowing by introducing everybody in between and doing a bit of shtick herself.
So we're lucky to have Rachel in our midst.
Indeed, one of our life members.
And it was Short and Girly, but with a bit of Burley on the side,
wasn't it, Tex? Yes, with Tom Berlinson?
Tom Ballard.
Ballard, that's
Tom
it.
Tom Ballard and a few other...
The one who was really girly was, I thought was absolutely gorgeous. What's his name?
Don't hold back. It slipped my tongue.
Oh, I can't indeed. Well, we might remember it
but
later.
But also, apart from the Short gorgeous. And Girly, our guest last week was the Surge team, and last Friday night they had their do on, which we're talking about.
Oh, at the GH.
The black and gold evening with the wonderful Caleb and his boys doing their stuff.
All the sexy water polo players.
That's the water polo team. Nice. Surge water polo.
So. And they were showing off their new swimwear.
With our logo on
with
their
With our
bottoms.
Logo, the Victorian AIDS Council logo on it.
That's correct. Now, for those who aren't aware, this is another special show today. We're only 1 month away from the state election.
That's correct, Jack. And each week up to the election itself, we're focusing on some policy and platform issues that we at the Victorian AIDS Council and Living Positive Victoria have put together to ask our politicians what they may be able to offer in the way of rectifying some important health issues for the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender and intersex communities. And that's incoming politicians, whoever wins the election.
Correct, yeah, across the board.
So, today we're going to be looking at tobacco cessation and the broader health implications around smoking, and one of those issues being diabetes. So we've got some special guests in today to talk about both of those topics.
Absolutely.
It's going to be really good.
And shortly we'll be talking to Heath Painter from VAC about tobacco-related issues. And later in the show, we've got our other guest, Edwin Pascoe, who is also a diabetes nurse. And there's an intersection of both smoking and diabetes, which our guests will go into explain to you all.
Yes. So at Well, 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 we talk about all topics related to the GLBTI community. It's all about sex, health and well-being. And you can like us via facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy, or you can call 1300 JOY 949, or you can email us at onair@joy.org.au, or you could SMS us on 0427 JOY 949, or even tweet us at wellwellwelljoy.
And if that's not enough, we will now move into, it's quite a mouthful that, isn't it?
All it is indeed. There's lots of ways to get in contact with us though.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we'd love
any
to hear from you.
Like.
Let us know what you think of the show. Let us know what you think about any of these health-related issues and perhaps some of the election platform issues we're bringing to you.
And indeed, and also we like to say to people that if you want to hear us talk about a health-related issue, we're covering the state election up to the state election, but then we'll have all of December and then all of next year to talk about issues that you might like to hear us talk about, whether they're HIV or GLBTI related.
Absolutely. So let us know, please. Mm. But first, I'd like to welcome our first guest, Heath Painter. Heath works at the VAC, but Heath, perhaps if you just begin with and tell us what you do at VAC, the Victorian AIDS Council, and what your background is.
Sure, and thank you for having me on again to your program. So I'm the Senior Policy Analyst at VAC. I've got a background before I was in this role in tobacco control at the Cancer Council. So some of the issues that I'm going to discuss today are not unfamiliar to me at a professional level. And I think they're really important issues for our community, but also for the broader national community, because smoking is such a real health concern.
Sure. So it's a bit of a passion as well as a practical implication.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. And I guess, like our former health minister, I observed a grandfather, or Nicola Roxon observed a father pass away very abruptly from smoking-related illnesses, and I saw that in a grandfather. So yep. It is something that has been... I've seen firsthand some of the real harms that smoking can bring upon an individual and upon a community.
So it's both personal and professional, if you like.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I think that, that brings together two very powerful aspects, I think. So who better to talk to us about
exactly, who
about,
better than
smoking
to have
cessation?
Our very own Heath?
And Heath, what is it that you do at the Victorian AIDS Council? I mean, what's your job involve?
So I'm the senior policy analyst, and by policy, that's not internal policy. We're talking about gay men's health and HIV, and remembering that HIV in Victoria is, well, about 60% of diagnoses are amongst gay men, and about 80% of people living in Victoria with HIV are gay men or men who have sex with other men. So the job focuses largely on gay men's health and the impact that HIV has on gay men's health. And so it's around addressing and identifying policies around risk reduction strategies, HIV prevention, making submissions to parliamentary inquiries. And also a lot of the work I'm doing at the moment is in the area of arranging forums that provide the community with access to our knowledge as an organisation to ask questions and raise their interest in new areas of new aspects of the biomedical approach to the epidemic here in Victoria.
And apart from the smoking cessation we're talking about today and diabetes, you had significant input into this platform that we've got with Living Positive Victoria. How did that come about?
Yeah, so this is, I believe it's the first election platform that VAC has produced. And to go back a step, as you said, the organisation earlier this year signed an agreement with Living Positive Victoria. So there is a strong partnership mm-hmm. between the organisations, which I think existed anyway, but it's kind of been codified.
Yeah.
And one of the inaugural pieces of work that the two organisations worked together on was the production of this document.
Yep.
This document, I'm holding it here, your listeners can't see it, but it's a yellow document that we put together, which raises 10 key areas that we feel politicians in Victoria need to consider to ensure that Victoria's response to the HIV epidemic is relevant, is contemporary, and really ensures that it maintains its the success that we've had.
Great.
We're going to be hearing more from the gorgeous Heath in the ensuing program. But first off, we're going to begin with listening to a classic song performed mm-hmm. perhaps by a non-classic person, mm-hmm. Justin Timberlake. The song is called Cry Me a River. John, I'm sure you've heard it a zillion renditions.
Well, I heard the original version, which was Julie London. And we all love that smoky, husky, sexy, late night version of Julie. But I'm eager and keen to hear Justin.
And that's
don't
probably
be too eager,
the,
good old Justin Timberlake.
The squeaky clean version, perhaps.
Oh, dear.
This is Whoa, Whoa, Whoa on Joy 94.9.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And joining Tex and Jess and yours truly, Jack, is Heath Painter. Heath's our policy officer at the Victorian AIDS Council. And I must just say, I prefer Julie London's version. That sounded nothing like a classic song.
No, it was a classic song. Classic song, but a non-classic voice.
Bring back Julie London. Anyway, getting back to the policy issues and Heath. Heath, you were talking before about the platform that VAC and Living Positive Victoria have put together. Why is it important that both of the organisations do, in fact, have a policy platform regarding this next month's state election?
Well, firstly, the organisations have a partnership, and the mission and the aims of both VAC and Living Positive Victoria are very similar. So I think it's a really important expression of the similar approach that we both take to addressing the epidemic in Victoria. But also, the election platform highlights the major policy initiatives that both VAC and Living Positive Victoria see as central to addressing HIV in Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, you know, and one of them is tobacco or prevalent smoking prevalence amongst people living with HIV.
Okay, so we all know that smoking is supposedly not good for you and whatnot, but could we possibly flesh out and explain what are the basic harms associated with tobacco smoking?
Yeah, so I think cigarettes contain many, many different chemicals, and two of those chemicals are carbon monoxide and tar. And these are dangerous substances that compromise our health, and the fact that cigarettes constitute those two chemicals amongst many others present considerable health problems for people who are smokers.
Yeah.
And the long-term risks, and we know this from years and years of research, the long-term risks of smoking include many, many cancers, and particularly lung cancer. We've already seen a decrease in lung cancer amongst men in Australia because of the efforts of cancer control initiatives over the last 20 years. Lung diseases such as bronchitis and emphysema, heart disease issues like heart attack and stroke, and also poor blood circulation amongst many other issues. These are the issues that face in the mid to long term people who smoke.
And I think it's important to know that there are actually a lot of other associated harms, because people initially think, oh, it's lung cancer, you know, it can cause emphysema, but there are quite severe heart issues and blood circulation issues that it does cause as well. So
yep, absolutely,
it's important that people are educated about the full harms associated.
I'd agree with that. And just one what has come to attention in the last few years is the impact it has on skin increases in the likelihood of skin cancer,
really?
Which in a country like Australia, which already has the highest levels of skin cancer in the world, the increased risk created by smoking is something that I think the community needs to be aware of.
Well, that's news to me. I show my ignorance. I didn't know that was a risk.
Yeah, yeah. So it really does create harms for individuals.
Mm-hmm. Heath, what about secondhand smoke? Are there harms associated with secondhand smoking? So, you know, you walk past a crowd of people outside a city building or any building or anywhere, perhaps a pub or a street side cafe, and there's that glorious billowing effect of secondhand smoke that you're forced to walk through.
Yep.
Is that harmful to people?
Secondhand smoke's an interesting one, because what you'll often get is a lot of smokers saying, why am I being punished by laws? Why can't I exercise my freedom to smoke?
And my rights.
And my right to smoke. And the reality is that any rights argument is a contest, and people in the community by and large have a right to a reasonable standard of health. And what we know is that cigarette fumes from cigarettes inhaled by non-smokers is a risk to their health. And this has always been one of the myths that have been peddled by the smoking industry and the tobacco industry, is that let our smokers have their rights and smoke. But the reality is it creates harms and dangers for other people, because secondhand smoke, which is the process of inhaling smoke from another person, can trigger very similar harms to those that are experienced by smokers.
No, Heath, this is interesting because it's a legal product, illegal, but a legal product, which the government gains significant revenue from.
Yep.
I know we're going to be talking about different sorts of legislation later on, but how about it? You know, it's a legal product, a bit like alcohol. Alcohol, there are lots of issues associated with alcohol as well. Why should, as you know, to put the devil's advocate position, why should people be shunned and pushed away because when they're enjoying, or what they say, enjoying a legal product?
You mean from the perspective of a smoker?
Of a smoker, sure. Yep.
Well, I mean, I think at its core, I think to go back a step, we need to understand, and I don't want to stigmatise smokers, because smoking is an extremely addictive. Nicotine is extremely addictive, and people who commence smoking, it's not something you can give up immediately. So I think we need to understand as a community that we can't just demand that people stop smoking in the first instance. It's just not possible. But I think what needs to be borne in mind by individuals and by the tobacco industry is that product creates considerable harms and costs for the community, particularly on our health budget, that a government has every right to seek to regulate to protect the community from those harms and to protect their budget. And we know that smoking-related illnesses costs each state government in Australia hundreds of millions of dollars, yet the tobacco industry does not pay or does not contribute to any of those costs. Sure, the products are increased in value by taxes, but the tobacco industry does not take any responsibility for the fact that its product creates enormous harms amongst the community, which reduces people's lives on average by 10 or more years. That's for someone who smokes regularly, who is a habituated smoker.
It's substantial. It is substantial. And 2 years ago, Heath, Australia implemented world-first legislation to remove branding from all tobacco packs. Why is Australia so heavily regulated in this area? And do you think it has had any impact in having a benefit to the community?
Yeah, I mean, I think Australia's plain packaging legislation is unambiguously some of the best public interest public health policy Australia has ever introduced. It's world first. And I think one thing we need to remember is that one of the strengths that the tobacco industry has used to develop their market has been brand appeal and the goodwill associated with smoking. And I think young people may not remember these because these ads have been banned for a few years now, but many older people in our community will remember the advertisements that featured people smoking on beaches and in very sexy surrounds and situations. And this was part of building a goodwill and brand appeal connected with smoking so that smoking looked sexy. And what these ads failed to do was to provide the consumer with the flip side, and that is with information about the harms of smoking. Mm. And the laws initiated in Australia really set out to counteract this situation. And I think there are three main themes or strands of tobacco regulation in Australia. Firstly, they involve reducing the availability of tobacco products in public places. So in workplaces, for instance, you can't smoke in an indoor workplace in Victoria or indeed in Australia. Making them harder to buy. So we saw an increase in the age that someone had to be to buy cigarettes. There's also point of sale bans on branding. And also by removing the branding from the product. And what these initiatives seek to do is to have warnings that provide the consumer with the flip side, the dangers of smoking, but they also seek to dilute the branding of its appeal, which will lead to people not picking up smoking in the first instance. So to answer your question, has it had an effect? I think we really need the aim of plain packaging really is to stop young people being attracted to cigarettes in the first instance. Sure. Its effect on people who are already habituated, maybe it has had some effect, but its core aim is to stop young people being attracted to cigarettes. And I think in time we will see a real impact in smoking rates in Australia because of it.
We've got another song. This is by the glamorously gorgeous, she's been around for quite a while now, Madonna. This song was number 12 in Australia in 1984. She sold over 200 million records worldwide, and she was the best-selling female artist of the 20th century. So good on Madonna. I hope she's enjoying spending all the loot. This is Borderline here on Joy 94.9.
Well, 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 on Joy 94.9.
And you're back with Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9 with Jack, Tex and Jess. And we're talking to Heath Painter from the Victorian AIDS Council, talking about smoking cessation.
Now, Heath, can you tell us about smoking prevalence in the Australian community and beyond this smoking prevalence in the GLBTI and queer communities?
So, yeah, sure. So in Australia at the moment, we have smoking has dropped to below 15%, which is that's across the national that's a national average. That's the first time we've had it down at that level. It was up around the high 30s to 40s in 1980s.
15% is low.
It's low. Really, really good. And I mean, some states are high. Tasmania has the highest rate, but I think as a national average, that's a great achievement.
Absolutely.
But if you plumb down into the stats, there are problem. There are demographics where smoking is a lot higher, and one of them is amongst the LGBTI community. And in fact, it's reported to be 2 to 4 times higher than the general population, which frankly is alarming, that we have smoking rates amongst gay men that is probably sitting at around 40%.
Oh, really?
And in addition to that, amongst people living with HIV, it's around the same level. So these are real problem areas and they need to be addressed.
Hi, I'm Chris Furneaux from Joy's member services team. Joy is a unique volunteer radio station. We deliver radio with passion. Our purpose is to entertain and educate, to provide a voice for our diverse gay and lesbian communities, and to celebrate our culture, achievements and pride 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. We do this only with your support. Plus, you can have a voice in the direction of the station. Help keep Joy on air and be a part of our vibrant family with a Joy membership. Join now via our secure online payment link at joy.org.au or phone 1300 JOY 949.
You're tuned in to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Welcome back, guys. You're with Jesse, Tex and Jack, and we're talking to Heath about tobacco smoking. And we were just saying earlier, what was that statistic? You said it was about 40% amongst gay men, which is
relatively
a lot higher than the general public, isn't it?
Yeah, and so the data are on smoking prevalence amongst within the LGBTI community and amongst gay men is not comprehensive, but we do have some data, and data is suggesting that it's between 2 to 4 times the national rate, which is 15%, or a little bit below 15%, and some saying that it sits around 40%. So, yeah. I mean, they're alarming figures, and they place smoking in this community above smoking rates amongst some low socioeconomic communities in Australia.
Sure. So what about smoking amongst people living with HIV?
Yeah, and that's around the same rate, around 40%, and again, amongst a community of people, that is people living with HIV, where the individual's health is compromised, this is a real concern.
Yeah.
And indeed, we know now that HIV and or with people living with HIV do live longer, but often the health impacts that they experience are related to incidental behaviours, one of those being smoking.
Sure.
And so we argue it in our platform here that one of the initiatives that a government could do is to work with the partner organisations like VAC and Living Positive Victoria to provide funding for specific cessation programs.
Okay.
And I think that would reflect the overall partnership that has been very successful in terms of addressing HIV, that between the government and the community.
Absolutely.
And I think it's something that really needs to be addressed with specific programs, that is the high levels of smoking amongst people living with HIV.
Okay, and so how do you think that services could be tailored to cater for the high levels of smoking specific within these communities?
Well, we know from, one of the features of Australia's HIV response and Victoria's HIV response has been the partnerships between government, between research bodies and between the communities. And I think if the government wants to, and we certainly think they should, address smoking amongst people living with HIV and amongst the LGBTI community more broadly, that they should work with communities or existing structures and existing bodies like VAC and Living Positive Victoria to establish programs that support people to stop smoking, but I think also around smoking prevention, around raising awareness in these communities about smoking in the first instance. So for people who are generally young, people pick up smoking when they're young, that there's information around the dangers of smoking in our community.
Sure. And so could you talk to us about what exactly is Victorian AIDS Council and Living Positive Victoria advocating for in the election platform document that you had contributed to preparing?
Yeah, so what we're really, as I as I just said, what we're advocating that specific smoking cessation programs be tailored for people living with HIV across Victoria, and that the responsibility for implementing these programs be left with community organisations, so that they are relevant, effective, and in a language that is specific to those communities and supported by those the communities of people living with HIV.
Peer-led. Well, Heath,
it's a word I was missing.
I'm sorry to say our time is up, but thank you very much for coming along today for your insight into smoking cessation. We're coming up shortly with Edwin, and Edwin Pascoe, the diabetes nurse.
You're tuned in to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
That's correct. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9 with Tex, Jesse and Jack. And joining us today in the second part is Edwin Pascoe, who is a diabetes nurse. Welcome, Edwin. Welcome to Joy.
Thank you.
Well, Well, Well.
So, Edwin, could you please explain in a simple manner what exactly diabetes is and possibly the difference between type 1 and type 2, just for a bit of clarity?
Sure. Diabetes is a condition where the body can't regulate glucose in the blood, so glucose levels tend to rise. And the problem with having high glucose in the blood is that it damages blood vessels all over the body. And there are many reasons for that, depending on the type of diabetes a person has.
Yeah. Okay, so, and so the difference between type 1 and type 2, in simple terms, can you explain that to us?
No worries. In simple terms, so when I think about type 1 diabetes, I think of autoimmune. So I think about the cells of the pancreas being destroyed by your own body.
Yeah.
And so that's type 1. Type 2 is a bit more complex, actually. Type 2, there is a thing called insulin resistance. Insulin resistance is where the body doesn't respond to the insulin that your body is making, and so therefore glucose goes high. So the idea is that glucose needs to get out of the blood and inside the cell where it's being used by the body for energy.
Yeah, sure.
Now, Edwin, what are the indicators of having diabetes, or perhaps more, or being at risk of diabetes?
Well, in terms of the risk of diabetes, certainly we obesity is really one of those factors. So with increasing weight, we do see that increased rates of diabetes. But there are other things. Things to think about are if you have a relative with a first degree, such as a parent with diabetes, they can also be at increased risk. We have different groups within the community in terms of Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people.
Yeah.
If a person has had gestational diabetes, which is diabetes during pregnancy, that increases the rates of diabetes later on in life.
Mm.
And I guess also in terms of the symptoms a person might have, they may actually have no symptoms whatsoever. So a person could be going around with diabetes and they don't actually know it. And that's probably, that's a hard thing, because about half the people out in the community with diabetes are undiagnosed.
So the simple message is get it checked by your doctor.
That's right. I guess the symptoms that people do have, if they are going to have it, is being going to the toilet a lot and to pass urine, so which makes them thirsty. But it's a bit hard. People say, well, I drink a lot of fluid, so that's why I'm going to the toilet a lot. But why are they drinking a lot? It could be that they're actually just, it's the diabetes causing it.
You need to unpack all this stuff while you're going to the
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, men tend to think that it's their prostate and say it's that issue or something else. Other issues are things such as thrush. So a lot of people all of a sudden develop thrush and they're wondering, why can't I get rid of this? And it could be the diabetes or an infection that's not healing. They could become hungry as well.
Oh. And, of course, smoking.
Yes, that's right.
We're going to hear some more important messages. Right now you're on Joy 94.9 with Well, talking about diabetes with Edwin. Now, this is, as I said, just a word from our sponsors. And, of course, it's really important to listen to see who our sponsors are because, along with our members, the sponsors help keep Joy on air. We'll be returning with Edwin in just a tick or two talking about diabetes here on Well on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening. This is Well.
This is Well, and if you've just joined us, we're chatting to Edwin Pascoe, a diabetes nurse, about diabetes. So, Edwin, risk factors. Now, smoking is one. How does smoking impact upon diabetes, if you can explain it for us and for our listener?
Yeah, sure. First of all, with smoking, it's thought that it actually increases what we've mentioned before, which is insulin resistance, and so that it makes the insulin not receptive to do its job. Insulin, of course, opens the cells up to accept the glucose inside the cell, and of course, if that's not working, they've got an increased risk. So that's one side of it. The other side of it is if you do have diabetes, it actually increases the risk of the complications of diabetes. Mm-hmm. So, for example, cardiovascular disease can be increased by 50%. So it's a massive thing to think about with smoking and diabetes together.
Right, and so is there a difference amongst diabetes levels amongst gay men or the GLBTI community as opposed to, you know, overall national population?
That's pretty hard to get, that information.
Yeah, of course.
Certainly, the La Trobe University did a study, the private lives of two study in 2012, which it was reported. In fact, males were 3.9%, lesbians 3%, trans males 2.1%, but trans females were 7.4%. So the trans females were actually quite high.
Okay.
And so in terms of national data in terms of the general population, it's a bit mixed. It depends which data you look at.
Sure.
Certainly things such as around about 5.6 for the general population for diabetes.
Yeah. Do you think that's an area that we actually need to look into or try and see why it's higher or put some research into it? Or do you think that's not really a priority?
Well, I think in terms of research, we need to be looking at the lived experience of people with diabetes. What I've noticed as a credentialed nurse diabetes educator, when I see people from the LGBTIQ community, what I find is that they seem to have more complications. I'm not sure why that is, and that's why I want to do more research in that area. And also they don't seem to be as engaged. And so what I want to do is I want to actually interview some gay men and basically work out what are the issues. And certainly there already has been studies overseas, nothing in Australia. There was a guy called Adam Jowett, and he found the following issues, which were erectile dysfunction, thrush, hypoglycemia, which is low blood sugar, and loneliness. And these all impacted on a person's diabetes and their experience of diabetes.
Okay, we'll be right back. We've got Baby Come Home by Sing from the Scissor Sisters.
Thanks for listening. This is Well.
Indeed, you're listening to Well here on Joy 94.9. If you've just joined us, well, we're near the end of the show, but at the moment we're chatting with Edwin Pascoe, a diabetes nurse. Now, Edwin, earlier you mentioned that there's two types of diabetes, diabetes 1 and diabetes 2. I can disclose here that I'm a diabetic and I'm a type 2, but I'm interested to know, is it better to have one than other than the other? I mean, have I missed out not having one and poor old me, I've got number 2?
I think though both groups would argue that theirs is the worst. Basically, in terms of people's experience of it, it can be quite, you know, it depends how you manage the process. With type 1, yes, because you get diabetes at an earlier age, possibly, so people can get it at the age of or be born with it, really, type 1.
And is that so, what's sometimes called juvenile diabetes?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah. And so therefore, because it's merely the length of time a person has diabetes, really, that's really the problem. So the longer you have it, the more problems you can get. So is one better than two? Not really. People would say that with type 2, as the disease advances, it can cause quite a lot of problems.
Yeah, I was diagnosed, I think, about when I was about 45, and some of those symptoms that you listed before were the tiredness, going to the toilet, all those sorts of things, were ones that were quite resonant with me. I mean, I remember back then, you know, going to my doctor and saying, well, is there something wrong with me? Now, Edwin, what about other, you've mentioned, we've talked about GLBTI community, but what about other at-risk groups?
Well, I was thinking when we're discussing this before that one of the highest rates of diabetes in the world is people with in the Asia and Pacific area. So China is actually leading the world in diabetes. And of course, as part of my study, I want to actually look at different cultural groups to see what their experience is in Australia. I do see a lot of Asian groups, but we're looking at also Middle Eastern and also East Africa, which have higher rates.
Okay, and if people are interested in finding out more about diabetes, rather than just trotting along to their doctor and saying, look, I'm tired, I'm going to throw a lot, is there a website perhaps that people can have a look at?
Sure. We've got the Australian Diabetes Educators Association website, which is www.adea.com.au, and they've got a postcode area that you can put your postcode in and just search for the closest diabetes educator. Also you could, if you wanted to talk to me further about my research, you could talk to me or contact me on diabetes-education@hotmail.com.
Okay. So diabetes-education@hotmail.com. And what was the other email address you gave, the other website?
Which is www.adea.com.au.
Well, Edwin, it's been great to hear all about this. We're going to say goodbye to you, but not yet. we've got to listen to some more community service announcements and some sponsorships. And as I said before, it's really important to listen in to find who the sponsors are, because sponsors, along with members, help keep Joy on air. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening. This is Well, Well, Well.
This is indeed Well, Well, Well here on Joy 94.9. And, of course, we're coming up to the close of our show. I know, it's absolutely ridiculous. Where does the hour go? Time has flown yet again.
It certainly has.
We have had Edwin in today talking to us about diabetes, and it's been a really fascinating conversation.
It has. Thank you, Edwin, for coming in, because with Edwin and Heath speaking earlier about smoking cessation, there's an intersection to the whole issues around smoking and diabetes and managing one's health. And I think the key thing is, please, everyone out there, have a good doctor and get your health managed and monitored by a GP you trust. And when you go for a test, don't just think of STIs, think of other things like diabetes as well, and try to reduce your smoking.
Indeed. So thank you, Edwin, for coming in. It's been great to have you.
Thank you.
Now, this has been part of our election focus on health issues for the GLBTI community. And as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, we have a platform, which is a joint Victorian AIDS Council and Living Positive Victoria platform on policies we want all parties across the political spectrum to address and to look after your needs. They're available at various outlets at VAC establishments.
And they're also available on the Victorian AIDS Council website, so vac.org.au. And when you get onto the site, there's a yellow box. Mm-hmm. If you click on the yellow box, up will come the document that you can pick up across town from any of our four sites
exactly.
of the Victorian AIDS Council. Coming up next is Brandon with some gorgeous afternoon music. Jesse, anyone you want to say hi to or bye to?
Not really, actually.
Any messages? Any messages?
Oh, we did have
a
message
think
in.
Of anything on the top of my head.
We had a message come in saying, and this was when Heath was talking, says, "Hi, guys. It's from Craig, the funeral director. I stopped smoking in March after 30 years. Good on you." He's saying the packages had nothing to do with it, was the fact that they were going up over $2 a pack. So, yes, it is an economic smoking is an economic issue to people. So good on you, Craig, and I hope you've kept off the fags. the smoking kind of. This is -education@hotmail.com. And what was the other email address you gave? The other website?
Yeah,
the,
which is www.adea.com.au.
Well, Edwin, it's been great to hear all about this. We're going to say goodbye to you, but not yet. we've got to listen to some more community service announcements and some sponsorships. And as I said before, it's really important to listen in to find who the sponsors are, because sponsors, along with members, help keep Joy on air. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening. This is Well, Well, Well.
This is indeed Well, Well, Well here on Joy 94.9. And, of course, we're coming up to the close of our show. I know, it's absolutely ridiculous. Where does the hour go? Time has flown yet again.
It certainly has.
But we have had Edwin in today talking to us about diabetes, and it's been a really fascinating conversation.
It has. Thank you, Edwin, for coming in, because with Edwin and Heath speaking earlier about smoking cessation, there's an intersection to the whole issues around smoking and diabetes and managing one's health. And I think the key thing is, please, everyone out there, have a good doctor and get your health managed and monitored by a GP you trust. And when you go for a test, don't just think of STIs, think of other things like diabetes as well, and try to reduce your smoking.
Indeed. So thank you, Edwin, for coming in. It's been great to have you.
Thank you.
Now, this has been part of our election focus on health issues for the GLBTI community. And as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, we have a platform, which is a joint Victorian AIDS Council and Living Positive Victoria platform on policies we want all parties across the political spectrum to address and to look after your needs. They're available at various outlets at VAC establishments.
And they're also available on the Victorian AIDS Council website, so vac.org.au. And when you get onto the site, there's a yellow box. Mm-hmm. If you click on the yellow box, up will come the document that you can pick up across town from any of our four sites
exactly.
of the Victorian AIDS Council. Coming up next is Brandon with some gorgeous afternoon music. Jesse, anyone you want to say hi to or bye to?
Not really, actually.
Any messages? Any messages?
Oh, we did have a message in.
I can't think of anything on the top of my head.
We had a message come in saying, and this was when Heath was talking, says, "Hi, guys. It's from Craig, the funeral director. I stopped smoking in March after 30 years. Good on you." He's saying the packages had nothing to do with it, was the fact that they were going up over $2 a pack. So, yes, it is an economic smoking is an economic issue to people. So good on you, Craig, and I hope you've kept off the fags. the smoking kind of. This is a Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. We will see you next week, same bat channel, same bat station, for another exciting issue edition of Well, Well, Well. Cheers, everyone, and bye.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.